Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And we always let you know that this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located technically in Vilas, but we're just outside of Boone. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, or on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So if you go out of Boone on Highway 105 South, I think from the city limits sign, it's probably 3 miles, and you turn right on Baird's Creek Road and go 1 mile, and we're just above the golf course up there. We'd love for you to come out and visit with us in any or all of our services. We have 10 a.m. Sunday school on Sundays. We have our 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, preaching at that time. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And then on second and fourth Sunday nights, we have our Sunday evening services at 6 p.m. So there's more information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. Well, it's good to be here today. Good to see Noah. He's here with us. Noah, did you have a good 4th of July?
I did. It was a good little break, and we're glad to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on 89.1 KPGT FM out of Watertown, South Dakota, and those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I hope everybody had a good Independence Day, a good 4th of July. I thought about it a whole lot. I thought about the blessings of liberty. Of course, that's the name of this radio broadcast. What are the blessings of liberty? And that's not the subject today, but I just thought about, on Sunday, we went to church, we worship, we have freedom of religion. We had a visiting pastor, missionary, and he came and preached for us. We didn't have to worry about anybody coming in and shutting us down or getting in trouble with the government or doing something illegal, because in America we have freedom of religion. And we can come and worship, and then we spent a lot of time with our friends over the past weekend as well. On Monday, we went and we just had a good time, Noah and my daughter Abigail, and we went and worked out early together and at the gym. And then after that, we went and we ate, all had a good lunch together that afternoon. Some of my friends came over. We spent some time doing some target shooting. And so we enjoyed the First Amendment and the Second Amendment in two different days. And then we went to some other friends and we ate again. And we went and we watched fireworks. And so we just had a full weekend. And all the, a lot of times we get you can get overwhelmed with so much to do. We're going here, going there, but it's because the reason we can do that, the reason that people in America can put time into their schedule to go and exercise or have a cookout at somebody's house in the middle of the day and then go somewhere else that night and have another cookout. And then in just our little county that we live in, multiple options to go here and go there to watch fireworks, all kinds of different places. People buy their own. And I always think about, boy, that's a lot of money being blowed up, because that's exactly what you're doing or what happens with it. Nothing to show for it except, well, that was pretty and we had a good time. But why are we able to do that? It is because of God's blessings. And I was talking to my wife, we didn't have to do anything on the 4th of July in order to survive like you would in some other countries. We didn't have to carry our own water. We didn't have to stand in line for bread. We just were able to enjoy and relax just a little bit. And so all of those things are results of the blessings of liberty, that we can worship, that we can enjoy ourselves, that we can run up and down the road, and that we can eat, and all of these things, how blessed we are. And so I wanted to take just a minute today and just say how thankful I am for the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. It sure is nice to live in America. We have a lot of troubles. We have a lot of faults. We have a lot of faults. But it's still a good place to live, and I thank the Lord for that. So I hope you had a good 4th of July, Independence Day, and took time to think about and reflect on the blessings of liberty. Now, if you are a regular listener, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm enjoying this new early time that we're on Tuesdays on WATA, and I hope the word has gotten around. But if you are a new listener, or maybe you have not been listening in the past few weeks, we have been taking the book Common Sense by Thomas Paine. That was published in January 1776. And as I've read over this again, there's just a lot of good thoughts in the book. And it seems like common sense is something that was lacking in the 1700s and is lacking in the 2000s. Common sense seems to be something that is not very common. But today what I want to talk about, there's a little phrase in this book that talks about the King of America. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Who is the King of America? Or where is the King of America? Common Sense was published January of 1776, so several months before the Declaration of Independence. And our nation was trying to decide, are we going to take this step to declare our independence from Britain? Now, just a little review of some of the things that we've talked about over the past several weeks. I believe this. I believe that we as a country have just about come full circle from where we were at about the same point in time, the mid-1700s. What I mean by that, we have many of the same problems in 2016 that they had in 1776. We do not have a monarchy. We're not ruled by kings, but one of the things I've been bringing up over the past several weeks, we have an oligarchy. And an oligarchy is a rule by an elite class of people, or a special class of people, or they think they're special anyway, but they have somehow gained control or been given control of the government in spite of the laws, in spite of the Constitution, in spite of the court system or anything else. They've just sort of taken over, and it's the same people. And surely, and I mean a lot of people would agree on this, whether you're a Democrat, whether you are a Republican, whether you are an independent, or whether you just, you know, you have no preference, but you just sort of have observed what is going on. We have lost our representative form of government. Now, a true representative form of government would be, and it talks about this in the book Common Sense, that we would elect people to represent us, and they would go to they would meet in a central location. You know, we talk about a centralized government. They would go to a place, they would meet, they would make decisions, they would serve, and they would serve for a predetermined period of time. And after their time of service was up, then they would go back home to the place that they were elected from. They would live among those who elected them, and they would live under the laws that they had enacted during their time of service. That is an idea representative form of government. Well, we've lost that by and large in our country as far as the big picture goes. We have a class that gets elected and they go to Washington, or sometimes they go to the state capitol, and they just stay. and they stay for their whole career. And so we call them career politicians. And this is why we have the same, you know, when you think about people that are really pulling the strings in Washington, D.C., the real, what we might call power players, the ones that are always in the news, you know, there's some good people. They'll go, they'll get elected, they'll serve, they'll come home. That's the way it's supposed to be. But if you really watch the news, you're going to find, out of all the congressmen, out of all the senators, you're going to find the same names coming up over and over again. When any news happens, when any big piece of legislation is going on, you're going to find the same family names. And this is why we are plagued in our country with the Clintons and the Bushes. You know, just put them together and shake them up in a bottle and, you know, in the big picture, and the Kennedys, and I mean, all these names that continually pop up, career politicians. Now, that's our own fault. It's our own fault in America because we have not done what is necessary to enact term limits. And to me, my personal opinion, that would be one of the best things that could happen in our country, is for there to be term limits on everybody. And, you know, you go and you serve a certain time and it's over and you go back. And you're not going to make a career out of it. And you're not going to spend 50 years in Washington, D.C. or you're not going to spend your whole life. You know, you go, you serve, you come back. But we don't have that in America. You can go and just make a career out of it. You get all the benefits. You get the health care. You get the retirement. You get it all, you know, for a very short period of service, even if you do that. Well, we have that going on in America, and we call that an oligarchy, a rule by an elite class, which is just as bad as a monarchy. And then also, I talked about this last week, we have an island that rules a continent. And Thomas Paine talked about that. He said it didn't even make any sense that Britain would rule America. You had an island ruling over a continent, talking about North America, the American colonies. Well, in America today, we don't have an island offshore, but we have a little 68 square miles, Washington, D.C., that rules over all the rest of the states. We talked about that last week. We have a federal government that is more bureaucracy than anything else. It's like the monarchy. It's the same complaints that they were having in 1776. They couldn't get anything done because of all the red tape, because of all the bureaucracy that King George had in his form of government. And so we have that going on. Now, in Thomas Paine's day, and the whole first couple of chapters in the book Common Sense is taken up with trying to convince people that they could have a government without a king, without having a king. But in Thomas Paine's day, not having a king was a foreign idea. And what I mean by that, that's all they'd ever known. Now, you think about that. You think about growing up in Britain. You think about migrating to America. And it would be the same if you come from England or France or Germany or most of the European countries over there. I think maybe there was one or two that didn't have a monarchy like we think about. But these people that migrated from Europe, all they'd ever known was a monarchy. All they'd ever known was a king, and then the succession of kings and the fighting and the civil wars and the struggle for power. And that had gone on in England for over 1,000 years. So it wasn't something new to them. It's the only way of life that they'd ever known. And then here in the colonies in America is a group of what at that time was considered to be radical people. I mean, here's a group of people, and what they do, they have these strange ideas. They have these ideas and they're trying to convince people that we needed, that the colonies needed to separate from Britain, that they needed to declare their independence. And instead of a king, they were putting forth the idea that we would have a totally different form of government, that we would have a government that was of we the people, where the people were in charge of what went on in the country. And so that's the case that Thomas Paine is making in the book Common Sense, is basically this. He's saying we don't need monarchy to govern ourselves. We don't need a king. We can govern ourselves. We can have a rule by law. Now, I want to read a little paragraph out of the book Common Sense, and I just think this is great. And so I want to share it with you. He said this. He said, "But where, says some, is the king of America? I'll tell you, friend, he reigns above and doth not make havoc of mankind like the royal brute of Britain. Yet that we may not appear to be defective even in earthly honors, let a day be solemnly set apart for proclaiming the charter. Let it be brought forth and placed on the divine law, the word of God. Let a crown be placed thereon by which the world may know that so far as we approve of monarchy, that in America the law is king." Now that is a great statement right there. And we'll see how that actually came to pass in America. And so he said, let's bring out our charter, our constitution. Let's put it on the divine law, the word of God, and put a crown on the top of it so that people would know that in America, as far as we are concerned, that in America, the law is king. He said, "For as in absolute governments, the king is law, so in free countries, the law ought to be king, and there ought to be no other. But lest any ill use should afterwards arise, let the crown at the conclusion of the ceremony be demolished and scattered among the people whose right it is." Now that was a totally foreign concept to most of the people that would read Common Sense. And so he's trying to make the case that we do not need a king. We do not need a king in order to govern ourselves. And there's some interesting thoughts that he puts forth in that little paragraph there that I want to say just a few things about. And so he said, first of all, he said, "Where is the king of America? I'll tell you, friend, he reigns above and doth not make havoc of mankind like the royal brute of Britain." And so what was Thomas Paine talking about when he said, "Where is the king of America? I'll tell you, friend, he reigns above"? He was talking about the Lord. He was talking about the God of the Bible who reigns above and does not make havoc of mankind like the king of Britain. That's who he was talking about. And already in the book, and I've referred to this in the past few weeks, he gave several examples of the nation of Israel. And he talked about one of the great sins of the nation of Israel is in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, where they came to the prophet Samuel and they desired a king. They said, "Make us a king that we may be like all the other nations." And Thomas Paine said the glory of Israel is that they were not like all the other nations. But you see, they came and they said, "We want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king to rule over us." But Thomas Paine makes the case. He says, let's be like ancient Israel. Let's get back to where we could say the Lord reigns over us. Now, you're familiar today with a subjective term. I mean, a lot of times things sound good, but what do they really mean? Like for example, support our troops, or we support our troops. That's subjective, meaning anybody can say that. But what does that mean? Democrats say that, Republicans say that, liberals say that, conservatives say that. You can hang a banner up and that doesn't offend most people. You know, support our troops. But what does that really mean? God bless America. What does that really mean? The Lord is our, God is our Lord. Talking about in America, what does that mean? That's subjective. But that's not a fairy tale proposition. What I mean by that, sometimes we might say, well, the Lord, and we talk about the Lord this and the Lord that. But if you just go out and do whatever you want to do after that, do as you like, well, the Lord's not really the Lord in your life. And over in the Gospels, Jesus said this. He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And so just saying God is our king In God we trust. That doesn't mean anything. It's got to have something that backs it up. That's what I'm getting at. And so what Thomas Paine went on to say was this. Not only is he said the Lord is the King of America, but he said this. He said that we should place our charter. Now, you realize at that time they did not yet have a Declaration of Independence. They didn't have a Constitution. They didn't have a Bill of Rights. They did not have these things. But what Thomas Paine was putting forth, you know, we need a charter. We need a Constitution. We need to declare our independence. What he was saying, whatever we come up, whatever system of government we come up with, we need to bring that. And we need to place our charter, what he said, on the divine law, the Word of God. Now, when he said that, what he's talking about, the result of that, he was putting forth the idea that our foundation, the foundation of our government, would be the Bible. And everything that follows would be in agreement with the divine law or the Word of God. And do you know, in America, that is exactly how it took place. That is exactly how history would unfold itself, that our laws in America were originally based upon God's laws. Once upon a time in America, you could not be a lawyer without studying the Word of God. Once upon a time in America, and this is even in the Constitution of the state of North Carolina, that you could not serve in public office if you were an atheist. And many other states had the same requirement. You could not serve if you did not believe in God. Our laws, the foundation of our nation, is based upon the Word of God. Our missionary we had on Sunday, he was talking about our country versus other countries. And he said, in America, a lot of places, we have a church culture. How did that come about? How did it come about that some people say, especially in the South, well, there's a church on every corner? How did that come about? Because of the strong influence of the Bible and Christianity and preaching and pastors in our country. That is why you find, once upon a time in America, the great prominence of the Ten Commandments. You wouldn't only find Ten Commandments in a church hanging in a Sunday school classroom, but it wouldn't be uncommon to find the Ten Commandments in the schoolhouse. It would not be uncommon to find the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. Why would they have the Ten Commandments? Because our laws were based upon God's laws. And so, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. All these things, once upon a time, were common knowledge. And a lot of our penalties also were based upon the examples in the Bible. And here's something interesting, and we've done this before here on the Blessings of Liberty. Now, it takes a long time to do it, but you can actually go through the Declaration of Independence, line upon line, sentence upon sentence, paragraph upon paragraph. You can go through the United States Constitution. You can go through the Bill of Rights. And as I said, we've done that before. We've taken the time to do that. But if you will do that and compare it with the Bible, what you will find is that our founding documents are in line with scriptural principles. And what I mean by that, they are not contradictory. The Declaration of Independence talks about some great scriptural principles, some great truths. It talks about, first of all, our Creator. Well, you'd have to go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and Genesis chapter number 2. They believed we had a Creator and that God had created all men equal. You find that in the Bible. And you find our Constitution, although not a biblical document by any means, but it also does not contradict the Bible. There's one little phrase right in the middle of the Constitution, and I was reading it one time, the United States Constitution. They were talking about conducting business in the Congress, and there's a little parenthesis in there that says, excepting Sundays. Why wouldn't they conduct business on Sunday? Why didn't they do anything on Sunday? Because Sunday was the Lord's Day. That was their culture. That was their society. Our Constitution is built upon the fact that men are sinful and they need to be constrained. And so the Constitution is a constraining document. Then we have the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights, we have, you have freedom of speech, you have freedom of association, you have freedom of religion, you have all of these things in the Bill of Rights. So they do not contradict the Bible. But Thomas Paine, what did he say? He said, take our charter and place it on the divine law. Place it on the Bible. Let the Bible be the foundation and everything that comes out of it. Let it be in line with our foundation. That's the case that Thomas Paine was making. He also said this. He said, in America, the law is king, not the king. And so that is a great, great difference between a monarchy and a republican. In America, when it says the law is king, that means the power is in the people, because the law is the king, not the king being the law. See, there's a big difference there. In a republican form of government like we have in America, we have rule by law, not by whim of man. The president has to obey the law. The Secretary of State has to obey the law. The Supreme Court justices are supposed to obey the law. We're all supposed to be in line with the Constitution. That is rule by law, not men just doing what they want to do. And so he makes some great points in that little paragraph we talked about. Now, I want to say this in closing, and we see our time is almost quickly or is quickly passing by today. But if in America, our country is based upon the law of God, and we would say that's good. Some people would say that is good, not everybody. But here's something about the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you're going to base something on the Bible, you have to realize that the word of God cuts both ways. And so if we use it for good, if we go against that, then we're judged by that. So in America, when we forsake the word of God, well, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. We're going to find ourselves judged by the word of God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 4 says this. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked. We can't go around waving a Bible and talking about God bless America, and then out of the other side of our mouth, we're doing exactly opposite of what the word of God says. God is not mocked. We cannot mock him. It doesn't work that way. The Lord's real. This is not just some words on paper. There's consequences to pay. I think about this. I was reading again this morning over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. That's the blessing and cursing chapter. And what I mean by that, the Lord says this, these commandments, he's talking about the commandments that he gave the children of Israel. He said, if you'll hear me, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. And he goes down the line and gives all the blessings of the Lord. But then he says, if you will not hear my law, then all these curses will come upon you. And so there's a great benefit in having the law as king, but there's also a great responsibility. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We thank you for listening. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. Hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You are listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.